Let's go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for all that you do, Father. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Now, Father, we pray that I may decrease, that you might increase. Lord, there is a word from the Lord, Father. We ask that you'll speak, God, through me, God, that they will hear your voice and not mine. It's in Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Give a little bit more volume on this mic. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. All right, our message this morning is going to be a piggyback from last week's message. So if you would, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter. The context of Jesus' message in the 16th of Matthew changes from simple salvation to discipleship. And there's a distinct difference between just being saved and being a disciple. And that's what we want to take a look at. Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, we're going to begin, I would read that verse 24, but we'll go through the remainder of the chapter. And it reads, then said Jesus unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man, what is the profit of man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the cloud, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. From this passage of scripture, we'd like to take for this thought, a title for this thought, a disciple or just delusional? Are we disciples or are we delusional? This statement requires self-examination. Again, it requires us being honest with ourselves. Jesus asked the question, whom do you say that I am? And Peter rightly said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Understand that Peter makes this statement by faith, as it had been revealed to him by God the Father. But Jesus moves on a little further when he asks them or tells them that if you want to be my disciples or if you want to follow me, then you must first deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Amen. This is the introduction to our discipleship. This is where discipleship all begins at. There is a pathway to discipleship. And that pathway is to know more about God. Amen. For how can we follow someone whom we don't know? Well. How can we obey something that we really don't know? And that's why it's critical for us to move from just mere salvation to discipleship. Amen. As a matter of fact, that was Jesus' whole intent in building the church in which he would establish on the day of Pentecost. It would be about making disciples. As a matter of fact, when he rose from the dead and he gave the Great Commission tells us that we are to go into all nations making disciples, making those people who are disciplined in the ways of Jesus Christ. And understand that, that is the true earmark of every church, is that of making disciples. It's not about getting more members. That's not what this is about. It's not about filling up pews and having multiple ministries that's going forth. The main ministry of the church is to make disciples. The ministry of the church is not about feeding the poor. That's only a part of it. To make disciples. We are to be disciple manufacturers. When you leave out of here, you ought to leave out of here more of a disciple than you when you came in. And it all comes by hearing. And not just by hearing, but actually by doing what you're hearing. The reality of the thing is that most people come to church because they want to be entertained. They want the preacher and the choir to say something to make them glad. But understand that that's not the purpose of church or the worship experience in church. It is to prepare us. It's to get us right. It's to have our feet firmly planted in the gospel message. It's to have us disciplined that when Satan comes, because he's going to come, whether it be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, he gonna show up. As a matter of fact, if you anything like me, the minute you step outside this pulpit, he's coming. And so we have to learn how to stand fast on the word of God. We gotta learn how to be obedient to the word of God. So the pathway to discipleship is learning more about God. And that's what you come here for. Well, at least that's what I hope you come here for. That you might come in and that you might enjoy the fellowship with other believers, that you might enjoy the experience with other believers. Let me stop right here. Let me stop right here because this is not for y'all here in the audience. This is for those who are on live stream. I need to speak to the live streamers out here. Because you are on live stream and you've been there since the pandemic. And I think that your motivation, this is just me, I think your motivation has changed. Because initially I believe you were motivated by the pandemic and you didn't want to get sick or anything like that. I understand that. But I think that your motivation has shifted a little bit to now you want to just be comfortable. Help us, and there are some things that you can add to this body right here if you come out. Yes, you see, because the objective is for you and I and all of us to interact in faith and draw from one another. And we cannot draw anything from you if you're still at home. So I encourage you, you know, I haven't said much to you. I've been preaching to those who have been in the house, but it's time for me to start preaching to you as well. You need to come back out. Yes, Lord. You need to be a part of the body. Because there are some things that you can bless us with just by you being here. Yes, Lord. All right, now I'm back to y'all. Jesus is making disciples of his disciples before they even became disciples. As a matter of fact, we were calling them disciples before they were even disciples in their actions. Understand that these men were flawed men. They had their flaws. Peter had a temper. Thomas was a doubter. They all had their flaws. But Jesus still took them. And he discipled them. He taught them. Did you not know that there was time that Jesus would give a parable and he would not give the meaning to anybody else but the disciples? It's after the multitude would leave that he would explain to the disciples what the parable actually meant. This was a part of his discipleship towards them. It was a matter of getting them to understand what the kingdom of God really looked like in the lives of people. And that's all we come to do. Listen here. He said it starts with us denying ourselves. And we covered this last week. Denying ourselves is considering ourselves less than what we really are. And here's where the delusion comes in. Because a lot of times we think that we're more than what we really are. We think that because we come into church, because we come and we lift up holy hands and we sing songs and so on and so forth, that we are disciples, and you're just delusional. Because when you are a disciple, you have come to the point to where you learn to submit yourself to God's will. You true disciples put down selfishness, self-ambitions. We put it down. And we surrender ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And this is what differentiates us from just mere believers. Because mere believers will accept Jesus Christ as Savior. But their lifestyle does not depict them wanting Jesus to be the master over their lives. Because that's what Lord means, is that he is the master over our lives. Amen. We submit ourselves to his authority. And he talks about, he said that if we would lose our own life, in other words, if we would surrender our own life to God, whatever your will is for my life, God said that we will gain eternal life. But it all comes at submitting ourselves. We take too much, put too much value on our lives and what we have to bring to the table. Well, what is it that you have to bring to the table? You have absolutely nothing. But understand that there's a heavy price for discipleship. We have to sacrifice on the altar our own self. We have to die daily. We have to crucify this flesh. Because this flesh wants what it wants, when it wants, how it wants. It don't matter. It'll step on whoever to get what it wants. That's us. But that must be crucified if you're going to be a real disciple of Jesus Christ. Denying what we want. Listen here, telling yourself no. Yeah, some of the things that you want, you just, no, that's not, that, God, if you don't want that for me, I don't want it either. All right. That's what this entails. But we live in a society towards we want all the pleasures of this world. And it's a sad because we're the same way in the church. The church wants to be comfortable. We don't want to be inconvenienced for nobody and anybody. But if you're going to be a true disciple, you realize that there's going to be some time that you're going to be inconvenienced. That there's going to be some time that it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. We're so busy doing the things that we want. We make time for ourselves. We make time to go to the golf course, to the bowling alley. But we don't want to sacrifice any time for God. We don't want to sacrifice any time for anybody else. We get so busy. We're so busy now. We just keep walking up. Just like the parable of the Good Samaritan. You remember that, right? You know how the man had been beaten and laid in the street half dead. And the priest was too busy. He couldn't even stop and see about the man. And before we talk about the priest and the Levite, we need to examine our own lives. As a matter of fact, who was the last person you ministered to? Who was the last person that you helped? We need to ask ourselves these things. You see, because losing ourselves or losing these lives or crucifying these lives requires us to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. It asks us, how committed are we? What is your level of commitment? How far are you willing to go to demonstrate the love of Christ? What are you willing to give? What are you willing to sacrifice? Yeah, I need you to think about that. Because far too many times we get busy satisfying ourselves that we forget that there is a mission which comes in our commission to win the lost for Christ. One of the greatest hindrances of that is our own self-pride. Mm-hmm. Got to put down our pride. Yeah. Got to put down the things that builds us up. We're too busy needing a pat on the back and folk to call our name. Yeah. For what? Yeah. I'm just concerned that God's going to call my name on the last day. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for you to call my name or pat me on my back. I'm looking for what God, what is God, how does he view me? How does God see me? That's one of the things that I'm really concerned about. God, how do you see me, God? I'm concerned about what other folks see. That's why I live my life like I live. Because I don't want to become a reproach to you. I don't want you to look at my life and see that of a hypocrite. That's not what I want. And so I live my life in such a manner that God can use me. And we're all to do the same thing. How many of us want to be used by God? Now don't raise your hand if you don't mean it. You don't mean it, don't. Listen, and God will be able to use you when you're living a life that's consistent with his word.
Yes, Lord.
Why would God use a defiled vessel?
Jesus.
He wants to use one that he has come in and that he has cleaned up.
Yes.
And that he has filled with his precious Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's what he wants to use. That's the primary reason why the church is failing. Because we ain't got enough spirit-filled vessels in the church that are willing to be committed to winning the lost for Christ.
Yes, yes.
This is all what Jesus is getting his disciples ready for his departure. That's what he's doing. He's like, I'm not going to always be with you. The bridegroom is not going to always be here.
Amen.
But he's going to go away to prepare a place
for
his bride.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, the bride is to adorn herself with righteousness, with holiness, to prepare herself for the marriage feast.
Yes, Lord.
That's our part.
Mm-hmm.
How are we adorning ourselves with holiness? The scripture says, be ye holy, even as your Father in heaven is holy.
Amen.
And understand that we don't have our own holiness or our own righteousness. It is imputed by Christ, but we also walk it out.
Yes.
In other words, we need to look like what we say we are. We need to walk like that.
Amen.
So here in the text, he talks about self-denial, but he also talks about for us losing our own life. In other words, surrendering our own life. And then Jesus asked the question about our value. This is the second point of us not being delusional. What is your value? In and of ourselves, we have no real value. Jesus asked the question, for what does a man profit if he shall gain the whole world or the substance that we seek after, but yet lose his soul? Jesus is saying, stop chasing after material things. Stop chasing after the things of this world. And I mean, we all, God has given us some things. He's blessed us with some things for our good pleasure, for us, that he gives it to us.
Amen.
But it should never take the place
Amen.
Of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are to never worship the creature But we ought to worship the Creator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is Him that made us and not we ourselves.
Amen.
God did this.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, let me tell you something. If you would just rest in God.
Mm.
If you would just take some time to say, God, I'm going to rest here. I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm not going to make another step. Unless you say so. And what that means, when it comes down to your decisions, it need to be all prayer, just praying, God, let me make the right decision here. God, show me in your word what direction that I need to go in. That's losing your life. That's giving your life unto God. That's saying, God, you take control of my life. You see, because that's what we all want. We want God to have control of. Listen, what's the problem? You don't trust God with your life? Don't you know that when you made your public profession of faith, that's what you were saying, that God, I'm trusting you with my life? But when it comes down to doing it, you're like, oh, no, I got this, God. No. True disciple knows that he must trust God with not just part of his life, but with all of it. He said, what is a prophet that a man should gain the whole world, but yet lose his soul, lose his own soul? Well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, there's a lot of conversation that's going forth in Hollywood about people selling their souls to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't doubt it. But I don't think it's just in Hollywood either.
Right.
I think that there's some people sitting in churches for the sake of gain and getting what they want.
Help us, Lord.
Have really sold that soul to the devil. And this is temporal.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says that heaven and earth shall pass away, and everything that encompasses everything in it, every material thing that you have is going to pass away. Every material thing that you're chasing after is going to pass away. But it's God's word that's going to last forever.
Amen.
And understand that the most valuable thing that you and I have is not our houses,
mm-hmm.
it's not our cars, it's not your job, it's not even the relationships that you have. The most valuable thing that you have is your own soul. And what you do with your soul will have eternal ramifications. So be careful with the soul in which you have.
Lord Jesus.
You surrender your soul unto the Lord. Because your soul is the one thing that's going to live forever. It's going to be either in heaven or it's going to be in hell.
Yes,
but the choice is yours.
Yes, it is.
So what will you give in exchange for your soul?
What
is there out there that can buy your soul? Well, I'm glad that I was bought with a price. A price that I could not pay.
Yeah.
A price that was far beyond what I could give. But I know such a man that was willing to lay down his life in exchange for this soul, this wretched soul that I am. He gave his life for me. On Calvary's cross, yes, he did. He gave his life for me. He suffered, bled, and died on an old rugged cross. He gave his life for me because he did not save his own life. I benefited from that. I'm saved because of that. So I have no problem with giving my own life to God. Giving my own commitment and love to God. Because he died for me. He took what I could not take. He suffered, bled, and died on the cross at Calvary. Nailed him in his hand and in his feet. Pierced him in his side. He did it all for me. He was buried in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hands. And because he lives, I can live also. I'm not worried about death. I know it's coming, but I'm not worried about it because my soul is secure. I didn't choose to save my life. I gave my life for him. And I give my life to him now in service to him, in sacrifice to him. It's the least that I can do for him after all he's done for me. So is it your disciple, or have we become delusional? I pray that you're a disciple. In other words, stop fooling yourself. If you have not made it there, you need to make your way there to salvation. Because listen here, God is the only one that can save you. You can't save yourself. Nobody else can save you from this mess, from this wretch that we see. There's nobody can save you. But God can. And he wants to. He's willing to. If you would just submit. If you would just give yourself to him. He got up. And he's coming back again. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And I look forward to it. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. There may be one. It's time. It really is. It's time for us to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Macedonia. To Pastor Minor and the entire church family of Macedonia Baptist Church, we have come in as a candidate for baptism, Genesee Buckner. We also have come in as on Christian experience, Sister Annie Dawson, and she's coming from Third New Hope Baptist Church.
Amen, amen, amen. So you want to give your life to Christ. You want a brand new start. Let me tell you something. That's the best decision that you could make. Amen. All right, listen. We're going to baptize you on the first Sunday after we have some discussions with you. You see that handsome gentleman over there? He's going to he's going to go upstairs and have prayer with you, okay? Coming by Christian spirits that you have experienced as a Christian. And you come from a great church. Third New Hope. Okay. Oh, you used to go to Spring Hill as well? Okay, well, praise God. We got a lot of Spring Hill here as well. Yeah. Amen, amen. Listen here, we know that you come as Christian experience, but we're going to ask also have her register to have prayer with you as well. And if y'all thing checked out, we'll give you the right hand of fellowship on the first Sunday. Amen? All right, God bless you. God bless you. All right, God bless you. Go right. Amen. Remember, we are having a Super Bowl celebration here at 4 o'clock. So if you want to go home and come back, or however you want to do it, just come back and fellowship with us. Maybe you're not into football, but come back for the fellowship. Amen, amen, amen. And the food. Amen, amen. If our hearts are satisfied, let us all stand. Those who desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. Dear eternal and everlasting Father, we come to you this morning, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for your word, God. And God, we are praying, God, that we will be more than just hearers of your word. But God, we'll be doers, Father. That we'll understand the cost associated with being a disciple, God. Knowing and realize, God, that it's going to cost us at some point, God. And God, I know we like to say that Jesus paid it all, and he did. But there is some cost associated with living this life. For it's a life of self-denial. It's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of surrendering our lives to you, God. Surrendering our will to your will. So God, I pray that as we leave out of here, Father, that God, we will keep that on our mind, God. God, we run into problems and situations, God, that we'll be ever reminded of, God, how you sacrificed, God. How, God, you turned the other cheek, God. That when they smite you on the one cheek, you gave them the other cheek, Heavenly Father. Let us be reminded of how you gave your back to the whip, God. You gave your hands to the nails, God. You gave your feet to the rivets, Lord. Your side to the piercing of your head to the crown of thorns, God. That we too must sacrifice, God. And there are times, God, that we need to simply pray. Put down our rocks. Put down our sticks, God. Pick up righteousness, Lord. God, thank you so much, God, for all that you do. Bless us now. And we shall be blessed, God. But Lord, I pray that when you bless us, that we will turn around and bless someone else, God. Be a blessing to others, God. Father, we honor you today for who you are. We ask that you go with us when we depart from this place, God. We'll never be absent from your presence, God. Give us traveling mercy, God, that we might arrive safely. Now, Father, I pray that you bless our Super Bowl fellowship, God. We bless your name, Heavenly Father, Lord, for it today, Father. It's not about the Super Bowl, God. It's about the fellowship, God. Let us come together, fellowship one with another. We honor you today. It is in the mighty and the matchless name. Now, Father, look upon our sick, listen. Let us not forget. Touch them in the name of Jesus, God. Those behind prison walls, God, touch them in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for the lost, God, those who are without, God, who have not been saved, God, some that may be here today that should have come down, Father. We're praying right now for them in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, we honor you for who you are, God. You are magnificent. You're marvelous in our sight. You are such a delight to us, God. And so for that, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. now, may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence and forevermore. Let every heart sing.